Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Welcome back to Empowered Perimenopause with me, your host, Francesca, a nutritional therapist and, of course, a fellow midlife woman navigating the ups, downs and all of the unexpected gifts of perimenopause alongside with you. And so today's episode is going to be a personal one. But before we get into the episode, I'd be really grateful if you would leave me a 5-star rating on whichever platform you're listening on. On Apple, you can also leave a short sentence or two if you've got the time. And that would be so helpful to get this podcast out to more women who need it, but also just to help me to grow the show. It doesn't grow unless there are ratings, listens, reviews. So I would really, really appreciate if you had a moment to do that. So let's get into today's episode, because now that I'm 45, I've been reflecting on all of the things that I wish I'd known in my 30s before I had any clue what perimenopause even was. In my 30s, so early 30s more so, I honestly thought menopause was something that just happened at around 50, and that was that. I'd never actually heard of the word perimenopause in my early 30s. It wasn't until my mid-30s that I even heard of it and started to go down the rabbit hole of really, really, really studying it. At my nutrition college, we learned a lot about menopause, a lot about obviously hormone health and nutrition for hormone health, but the actual phase of perimenopause wasn't really discussed in much detail. And like I said, I didn't even know what it was, let alone understand how much it could impact my body, brain, energy, and my emotions as well. And in the last 5 months or so, I feel like my perimenopause has really dialed up a notch or two, which has coincided with some additional stress that's been going on over the last 5 months. And that really just highlights to me just how impactful stress and nervous system dysregulation is in this journey. Your hormones are already fluctuating, you know, even more. Let's say I'm at 45, my hormones are already starting to fluctuate even more than ever before, and progesterone particularly declining further with each passing 6 months and 12 months. So this particular phase that I'm in of perimenopause, that stress has hit me a lot harder than it might have done maybe even a year ago, and certainly a few years ago. I do actually feel like I'm starting to come out of this little window now and starting to feel a bit more like myself again. But it has been really hard over the last 4 months, I have to admit, in terms of the stress was obviously one thing, but the impact that that's had on my body, on my brain, on my emotions has been something I've actually never experienced before. So it just, again, like I said, it just goes to show how impactful stress is, and at various stages of perimenopause. So like I said, if I was 40 a few years ago, but say 42, 43, that stress may not have hit me as hard as it has at this more delicate phase that I'm in of perimenopause. You know, I'll be sort of 46 in a few months. So yeah, just kind of highlighted to me. So today I'm going to share 10 things I wish I knew in my early 30s as a woman, not only as a woman, but also as someone who now helps other women navigate this season with more clarity, more ease. That is what I do. It's what I dedicate all of my work as a nutritional therapist to. But in my early 30s, like I said, I just didn't know any of this. In fact, I was still studying. I didn't qualify until I was 34. And then when I was 35, I left my career in finance and started to work as a nutritional therapist, which I've been doing for the last 10 years. And in that time, I've delved even deeper into continued professional development, specifically around perimenopause and menopause. So none of that started until I was sort of 37, 38. So it's at my early 30s yeah, I just wish I'd known. These are the 10 things that I wish I'd known back then. So some of these are practical, some are mindset shifts, and all of them come from experience, obviously both my lived experience and my professional experience with my clients. So let's dive in. So number one is that perimenopause starts earlier than you think. Okay, the first place to start is obviously knowing what perimenopause is, that it even exists. Once you know that, it's understanding that it starts earlier than you think. Because again, like I said, I thought, oh, menopause is just something that happens when you hit roughly 50. But even if people do know about perimenopause, which so many more of us do now, which is great, you know, it's been talked about a lot more. But I still speak to people who are sort of 48, 49, and they're asking me, are they in perimenopause yet? So this is what people don't realize. Although they may be aware of perimenopause, they're not aware that we're talking about something that you're transitioning into and moving through from mid to late 30s. You know, biologically or physiologically, that's when we're kind of moving into the phase of perimenopause. The actual symptoms and the changes and experiences may not be felt until later on. But we are moving into this phase from sort of early 40s at least. So, and, you know, there's so many symptoms that we just don't attribute to this hormonal transition that's transitioning us gradually and slowly towards eventually reaching menopause, going 12 months without having a period, which is around average age at the moment, sort of 51. So that's what I wish I knew, is that, yes, at 38, when I had, you know, sudden sort of kind of energy was declining, mood was changing and shifting, stress resilience was changing, sleep was changing a little bit, all very, 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 very subtle. But I wish I'd known this could be my sort of the start of my journey into perimenopause. So that's one thing. And it often, perimenopause really does start subtly for most people, like a tiny bit more or new anxiety, very subtle. Maybe your periods are noticeably a little bit heavier. But again, nothing too crazy, but just, oh, I'm noticing this is slightly heavier than it has been. Fatigue that, you know, coffee or sugar doesn't fix. You actually need a little bit more of a rest to help that, possibly some subtle disrupted sleep. All things I dismissed or blamed on just being busy or getting older. But those early signs, they were hormonal and I just didn't know it yet. And that's what I find a lot of women dealing with now, experiencing and sort of saying, oh, is this perimenopause? I'm like, yes, yes. These are all early signs of hormonal dysregulation, if you like. So the second thing is that it's not just about hot flushes and skipped periods. So the stereotypical symptoms we hear about, hot flushes, night sweats, are just one very small part of the picture. Although they can be extremely impactful, of course, they're just one part of the picture. What I didn't know in my 30s is that perimenopause can show up as brain fog, bloating, migraines, mood swings, low motivation, not feeling like yourself, random food sensitivities, changes in digestion. If I'd known all of this earlier, I could have joined the dots and started to support my body a bit sooner. The third thing is that stress isn't just mental, it is hormonal. I spent so much of my 30s in hustle mode, so my 20s, my late 20s, my early 30s, trying to prove myself professionally, trying to do everything perfectly. I was working a full-time job in banking, in private banking in the city. So I was working long hours. I had a commute each way. I was studying as well to become a nutritional therapist, which took me 5 years and so many evenings and weekends of just studying and watching, you know, attending lectures. I was constantly in hustle mode, just trying to prove myself, not only professionally, but also socially. I was still trying to keep up with going out and seeing my friends and doing all these things at the weekend. And I was trying to do everything perfectly. I didn't realize that I didn't think I needed downtime or any white space in my calendar. I just thought I could power through it with, you know, to-do lists and stimulants, kind of coffee and things like that to keep me going. What I didn't realize is that this kind of chronic stress dysregulates cortisol because it disrupts what's known as your HPA axis, which I've talked about in previous episodes, but that's basically the link between your brain. So the hypothalamus pituitary is the HP. So the link between those parts of the brain and the adrenal glands, that's the A. So it's the connection between the brain and the adrenal glands, which are the glands responsible for releasing your stress hormones like cortisol. And that sort of the chronic stress that I was under dysregulates that HPA axis, that brain to adrenal link, and therefore that dysregulates your levels and pattern of cortisol, which then starts to interfere with your other hormones like progesterone, which is already starting to decline in perimenopause. But if you kind of impact that even further with dysregulated cortisol, then you're just, you know, in for more kind of trouble with regards to the typical symptoms of low progesterone, like anxiety, sleep issues, mood issues. And also that dysregulation in cortisol then impacts estrogen, which is now in perimenopause starting to fluctuate more erratically, which brings its own issues. You know, really high, very low, erratically fluctuating estrogen causes its own set of symptoms. But add to that this chronic dysregulated cortisol, and it makes that estrogen erratic fluctuation more so. So your body doesn't just feel stress, it remembers stress, and it shows up in your hormones, your cycle, your digestion, your immunity, your mood, your brain, everything. I also wish I'd known, number four, is that sleep is the ultimate hormone reset. It's not a luxury. In my 30s, I treated sleep like it was just, oh, you know, if I can get it, it's optional, I'll have it. Something I could cut back on to get more done, basically. But now I know that sleep is so foundational for hormone health. It's something to be prioritized, not just for hormone balance and for helping us to navigate our way through perimenopause more balanced, but also for blood sugar control, for mental health, for that brain fog, for everything. So if I could go back, I would protect my sleep like a sacred ritual. I wouldn't squeeze it in around everything else or deprive myself of it because I had more to do or because I wanted to be out socializing and, you know, get everything in. I would really, really safeguard and prioritize my sleep like I do today. And it's something I know my body and my hormones is so, so thankful for. The fifth thing is that tracking your cycle is powerful, and it's not just about fertility. So I was not interested or didn't even have the inclination to track my cycles, to know where I was on any given day in my cycle, to know when my period was due, to know when I might be ovulating. I didn't think that applied to anyone unless they were tracking it for fertility reasons, unless they were trying to get pregnant. So had I known that, that would have really helped. Because it really, understanding where you are in any given day in your cycle helps you understand your mood, your energy, your metabolism throughout the month, your focus, all of these different things that are, you know, impact our day-to-day life and our work. And that the changes in your cycle can be an early sign of perimenopause as well. I didn't realize that at the time. You know, if your cycle starts to shorten by a day or two, if your periods are getting heavier and you're noticing some clotting, these are all signs of perimenopause. So now I see tracking as a vital feedback tool, and I have been doing it since I was about 39. But like I said, going back to my early 30s, I had no idea that I could actually as well utilize knowing where I was in my cycle to plan the weeks, the days of the month that I would be more productive mentally, cognitively, focus-wise, and the times when I might need to pull back a little bit and, you know, maybe retreat a little bit, have a bit more rest, work from home, not try and fit in all the studying as well, maybe not socialize that particular part of the week or the month. If I'd known all of that sooner, I would have swum through that time a little bit more easily, for sure. So yeah, tracking your cycle, knowing where you are. Like I look today, I see I'm day 18. I just know that I'm probably doing quite well. Day 18 for me, day sort of 16, 17, 18, 19, I do pretty well. Day 20, for me, it's around day 20, 21, when my concentration, focus, energy, you know, brain strength starts to sort of decline a little bit. And so I know that, and I just say, right. And so yesterday, for example, I had the most amazingly productive work day, getting loads of creative stuff done that I know I won't be able to do next week, or I won't be able to do it as well. So it's definitely a tool I wish I'd started to use way earlier. Number six, estrogen and progesterone affect way more than your period. So again, I was just looking at these two hormones as period-related hormones. I didn't know these hormones were involved in brain health, bone density, metabolism, skin elasticity, gut function, immune health, so much. We have receptors on almost all systems of the body for estrogen and progesterone, which suggests that we need estrogen and progesterone in all of those different systems to for them to work properly, work optimally. So it affects everything. There's so much more than just your period, bleeding, fertility hormones. I thought they were only relevant at certain times of the month. I had no idea how much influence my overall well-being, mental well-being, physical, emotional, and how their decline and their change, the fluctuations of estrogen, the decline of progesterone later in life could be affecting so many things that I would have just brushed off. I wish I'd known that having a cycle and a monthly period was actually safeguarding all aspects of my health, both at the time and in my future, now and later, and that the more months and years my body is naturally making these hormones and having my period, the better. So I wish I'd known that my period arriving on time each month was to be celebrated, not dreaded. Number seven, I wish I'd known that gut health and hormone health are deeply connected. Back then, I thought bloating was just about food. Maybe I'd eaten too fast, eaten too much, something didn't agree with me. Now I know that your gut plays a significant role in detoxing estrogen, managing inflammation, keeping your immune system calm. And I wish I'd known that gut health isn't just this digestion issue, it's a hormone issue as well. And it works both ways. So your gut health is going to your digestive health, the health of how you digest and break down your food, the health of the bacteria living in your gut impacts your hormone health, and that your hormone health impacts your gut health as well. Number eight was that I wish that you don't have to suffer. There's so much you can do. This might be the most empowering thing that I've learned. You're not at the mercy of your hormones. It is not just something that we have to say, oh, well, I've learned about this perimenopause phase where progesterone is declining, estrogen is erratic, and those two things are bringing about certain symptoms, and there's nothing I can do. Yes, these hormones are shifting. Yes, symptoms can be real and disruptive. Not everyone's experience is exactly the same. I've done a post on this recently about, for example, some people saying, perimenopause isn't a thing, I'm fine. We all have very different experiences, but the symptoms can be real and disruptive. I know that for myself and my clients, but there is so much that you can do to support your body. You can use nutrition, various nutrients, targeted supplementation if you're, getting support from the right person on that, rest, movement, all of these things, so, so helpful to support your body and to minimize the impact of those shifting hormones. You don't need to just wait it out. You can take action that actually helps you feel so much better, but also what the sort of side effect as well of the action that you're going to take to help you feel better, the natural side effect of that as well is that it's starting to optimize your health probably in a way that you've never done before, because you've never had that sort of knock on the door to say, look, I need help. So the things that you'll start to do to support your body, the foods, the nutrients, the rest, the movement, the targeted supplements, all of these things will also help to optimize your health and allow you to move into menopause when that time eventually comes in a much better state of health than you might have been otherwise. So that's the upside. I'm in my 40s, focused on my health and my well-being, my emotional, physical, mental health and well-being, more than I have ever been in my life, because I have to be in order to allow my perimenopause phase to be easier. And that to me excites me, because I know that I can move into my 50s feeling so much better than I might have done otherwise, so much better than my mum would have felt in her 50s, for example. I wish, I had all that knowledge as a young girl to have been able to help her. But this is what we can do. We can change the narrative now. So that's definitely something I wish I'd known, but I'm really happy that I know it now and I'm doing it. And it's obviously, like I said, from my mid to late 30s is when I decided to specialize in perimenopause within my private practice, because that's when I went down the rabbit holes of learning about it and understanding it. So I have been able to tap into this stuff since then. So it's fine that I didn't know about it until then. It was just in time for me. But yes, I just would love to have known that much earlier, that we don't have to suffer through something that we're told is going to be this really, really dreadful phase. Number nine, saying no is a hormone balancing strategy. So now we're getting into the mindset stuff, because in my 30s, I was a chronic yes person. I was the people pleaser. I wanted everyone to be happy. If someone invited me out, I said yes. How can you say no? Or you'd sit there fretting if you didn't want to go, thinking, what shall I say? What excuse should I make up? Rather than just, no, I don't want to, or I can't, whatever. I was that chronic yes person. I said yes to the social events I didn't really care about or didn't want to go to. I drank alcohol I didn't even want just to fit in around the table where everyone was having another drink. I pushed through when my body was screaming for rest. I went to all the intense workouts at 5 a.m. when I didn't want to. I went to the intense workouts after work at 6-7 o'clock in the evening when I didn't want to. I did what I thought was expected of me professionally, socially, in relationships, with my parents. I wanted to be seen as reliable, fun, helpful, easygoing. I'll just say yes to everything. But the truth is, it was draining me. I had no idea how much that level of overgiving and people pleasing was keeping me in a state of chronic stress. When I look back now at 45, I see that right up until probably her 40s, it was just before I was turning 40 that I sort of sat and reflected and knew that I wanted to change things. I wanted this new decade to be a whole new me, and that the people pleasing was going to turn on me. It was going to turn towards me, not to everybody else. So I kind of decided that sort of 39 and a half. But that 30-year-old and all of those earlier 30 years, I just was this chronic, I was in this chronic state of stress. I look back now and see that. And I guess there was part of me that was masking, because I was just doing all the things I didn't want to do because it pleased everybody else. Now at 45, I say no a lot. I say no way more often. I just basically ask myself, what do I want? Do I want to do that? If it's a no, I say no. And you know what? The world didn't end. My relationships didn't crumble. I haven't lost any friends. What did happen was space for rest, for clarity, for my energy to come back, for me to feel like myself, for me to feel less frustrated. I realized there was this pattern. If I was feeling frustrated, which was a lot in my 30s, looking back now, I realized that frustration was coming from the fact that I was constantly living life on other people's terms and not my own. So I was out of alignment, and that led to that frustration. I don't get that anymore, because I'm living in alignment with myself and my needs every day, as much as I can. Of course, there's times you might just have to do something. Of course, there is that. And I'm not saying we just don't ever do anything we don't want to do, because that's unrealistic. But I'm talking about, just really looking at that and making the effort where you can. Boundaries, they're not a rejection of other people. They're a commitment to you. They are a commitment to your health, to your emotional well-being. And I wish my younger self knew that sooner. I was always worried about, I don't want to let someone down. I don't want to hurt somebody else. And all it did was let me down and hurt me. But that didn't seem to matter. And that's obviously so normal. There's so many of us that are doing that every day. But it's just about recognizing that and saying, right, having boundaries, saying no when I want to say no, isn't a rejection of others. If other people feel rejected, it's in the nicest way possible, that is on them and not on you. Because we have to also honor ourselves. And then number 10, the final one, perimenopause is an invitation. It's not a curse. So again, back then in my 30s, I would have thought all of this stuff and reaching menopause was the worst thing ever, like this curse that women have to go through. I won't think about it yet because I'm not there yet, but boy, am I dreading it. You know, it's awful. I've seen everyone else go through it. I saw my mum go through it. It was awful. But what I wish I'd known then and what I say to everyone now, this phase is an invitation. It's absolutely not a curse. Yes, perimenopause brings challenges, but it also brings opportunity to, as I said earlier, finally take care of yourself the way you deserve to be taken care of, to pause, to reassess, to reflect. It's a time of wisdom, awakening, getting really honest about what you want from your next chapter, from this chapter that you've moved into. And that to me is really powerful. I would say my 40s are the best decade yet because of that wisdom, that awakening, and me getting really honest about what I want for myself and for my life, and living from that place, not from all of the other places that were not where I wanted to live from. And yeah, just really tuning into what I need and what I want and living from there. From a health perspective, it's an invitation and an opportunity to, as I said earlier, to look at the things that you're doing nutritionally, lifestyle habits, you know, supplementation, all of these different things, mindset wise, boundaries wise, to look at all these different things and say, okay, where do I need to change my habits, whether that's nutritional or lifestyle or both, or, you know, a bit of everything, and optimizing your health for now so that you can move through perimenopause easier, but also for the future. And that will help to safeguard so many different aspects of your health as you get older. And that is what we really can do here. That's what this phase is. It's an invitation, not a curse. So these are the 10 things I wish I knew in my 30s. If you're in your 30s or early 40s, I hope this gives you insight, clarity, maybe even a little permission slip to slow down, to say no, to honor what your body and your emotions is asking for. And if you're already in your 40s like me, mid 40s, late 40s, it's not too late. It's never too late. It's never too early to know about this stuff and start working on this stuff. And it's also never too late. There's still so much you can do to support your body through this transition, this amazing phase. It's a lengthy phase. If it's, you know, if we're moving into it from our late 30s, early 40s, and we're not reaching menopause until around 51 or more, or earlier, depending on the person, it's a lengthy phase. But there's so much you can do, whatever stage of it that you're in, to support your body through that transition with care, with confidence, and hopefully with clarity. If you're listening to my episodes here and hopefully learning stuff and taking a lot from it, that's helping to give you that clarity on what you might need to be doing. So if you've enjoyed this episode, I'd love if you'd share it with a friend, or if you'd and or leave a review. As I said at the beginning, it would really help other women find this hopefully supportive space. And as always, if you're looking for guidance on your own perimenopause journey, my membership is where we go deeper into everything I've talked about today. You work through everything at your own pace. We have a monthly group call together. There's an online community to ask questions anytime, any day. There's practical tools, nutrition strategies, personal support on those calls as well. So do look that up. The link's in the show notes to the Midlife Thrive membership. Of course, if you want to discuss working with me one-to-one, the information about that is also in the show notes, and you can book a discovery call via my website as well. So until next time, please be kind to yourself. You're doing a lot better than you think, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.